Paris Peace Conference, did it really bring any peace at all?
No, it did not bring any peace. Instead, it brought more economic, political, and social problems into the world. There were many reasons why the Peace Conference did not succeed. In this podcast, we will be explaining the aims of each political leader, the terms of the Treaty of Versailles, and the results afterwards.
Hi, I'm Georges Clemenceau. I, on behalf of the French citizens, demanded the strictest and most crippling punishments for Germany's heinous crimes. Thankfully, many of my wishes were granted. Germany is now not the powerhouse they once were. Of course, I had to let Wilson Boy George have something, but generally, I'm quite happy with the outcome. My key mission is to protect France and its people, and with the damage the treaty has done to Germany, I'm comfortable that we are safe now. It's good to see Germany floundering after all the pain they've caused. Hi, I'm David Lloyd George. Unlike Clemenceau, I am much less confrontational, but the British public mirror the French's outrage. Therefore, I must appear to be searching for harsh punishments. However, the treaty is a disaster. The severity of it makes war in the near future inevitable, and Clemenceau's aggression has caused further problems. We can no longer trade with Germany, and their fury will lead them to seek revenge. At least we got some territories. Hi, I'm Woodrow Wilson. The treaty is a catastrophe. We have blown our opportunity at global peace. Lloyd George sat on the fence and Clemenceau was bullish and forced his way through. The League of Nations is a good start, but we needed more, which we didn't get. How can we expect Germany, a nation already destroyed, to be able to pay £6.6 billion in reparations? The crippling nature of the terms will do nothing but lure Germany into combat once they are able. It's no good having Germany limit their military and lose their territories, only to have others stay fully armed and colonial. If only they'd have listened to me.
Now, onto the terms of the treaties. Firstly, the Germans had to accept war guilt. This clause was quite simple, but the Germans thought differently. They believed it was extremely harsh. They did not think that they were to blame for starting the war. Secondly, all the major powers agreed, without informing Germany, that Germany must pay reparations to the Allies for all the damage caused by the war. The exact figure was decided in 1921. It was set at £6,600 million, which is a lot of money, as you can probably tell. If the terms of the payment had not been made to change under the Young Plan in 1929, Germany would not have finished paying their debt off until 1984. Next, Germany's European borders were restricted. Their borders were very extensive. The treaty also forbade Germany to join together with its former ally, Austria, which was called Anschluss. In addition, Germany's overseas empire was taken away, as it had been one of the causes between Britain and Germany of bad relations before the war. Cameroon, a former German colony, became mandates controlled by the League of Nations. This effectively meant that France and Britain controlled them.
Germany's armed forces were also limited. Germany's army was a major concern, especially for France, as it was a very powerful and large army. As a result, the treaty restricted German armed forces. Their army was limited to 100,000 men. Their soldiers had to be volunteers, and conscription was banned. The Rhineland, which is the border area between Germany and France, became a demilitarized zone, which meant that no German troops were allowed into that area. The Navy could only have 6 battleships, and they were not allowed any armoured vehicles, aircraft or submarines.
Finally, the last term made was the League of Nations. There were previous methods that failed to keep peace, so the League of Nations was set up as an international police force. Germany was not invited to join the League until it had proven that it was a peace-loving country.
There were other concessions, including the Treaty of Saint-Germain in 1919. There was another treaty called Treaty of Mouy in 1919. Another treaty included the Treaty of Trianon in 1920 and the Treaty of Sèvres in 1920.
After the war, the world was in chaos and no country more than Germany. The trio ripped their country apart. This caused many opponents who were tending to ignore the war to come into more powerful positions. The right wing resented the treaty, therefore many revolutions were attempted. In 1920, a rising cricket cap push was defeated by a general strike by Berlin workers, which paralysed essential services such as power and transport. It saved Ebert's government, but caused chaos in Germany and added bitterness to the Germans towards the treaty. Although Kapp was defeated, political violence was always a threat. There were lots of political assassinations, also assassination attempts. In the summer of 1922, Germany's foreign minister was murdered by extremists. In 1923, Adolf Hitler led a rebellion in Munich, known as the Munich Push. Hitler was put on trial, and it was clear that many Germans hated the treaty as much as him. Over the next 10 years, he used his hatred for the treaty to gain support for himself and the Nazi Party. In 1922, Germany's constant payments towards the Allies got them in the war with the Allies. This is because they can no longer pay. France took action on this, and in 1923, the French and Belgian soldiers entered the Ruhr region and took over Roosevelt to become as well material as British. This was legal under the Treaty of the South. This was terrible for Germany, so the government ordered the workers to go on strike against the French and Belgian. This didn't go as planned, as the soldiers killed over 100 workers and expelled over 100,000 protesters from the region. Germany had no goods to trade, and this then led to hyperinflation. The government had nowhere near enough money, so they decided to print more. Hyperinflation meant this money was virtually worthless, so prices shot up. The price of goods could rise between reaching the back of the queue and reaching the front. Wages began to get paid daily instead of weekly. Some Germans gained from this. The government and big industrialists were able to pay off their huge debts, but others, especially pensioners, would find that their savings, their previously bought a house, were no longer getting a loaf of bread. Germany eventually recovered from this, but it is no coincidence that when they faced economic problems again in 1929, Germans believed Hitler's claims that the treaty was to blame and that his plans would overturn.
Thank you for listening.